Morning, Steve. Hello, everybody else. I'm excited and I'm actually a little bit nervous because I really, really want what I say to be this morning to be not me. Like, I really, really want that. That's too right, you know. But last night I got to 10 p.m. and I was like, I've studied Galatians and got pretty good grapple on it, and I'm going to tell them, you know, geographically where it was, and you know, when Paul wrote the letter, and this and that and the other. And I was thinking, wow, this is good. And then I put it to one side and I was like, actually, you know what? It's not sitting right. And so I picked it back up and basically started from scratch. So thank you, Lord, for that, and see how we go. But I feel like that's great, actually, because I'm going to be dependent on him and what he wants to say. And I want to communicate it humbly. The message I've got to bring to you today, parts of it will apply to you, parts of it won't. Most of it applies to me. It's what God's been speaking to me about recently. So please hear it in humility. Okay, these are things that I've been challenged on. And so I know I need to work on, but I just felt like, nah, we all need to hear this. We all need to hear this. Let's have a go, see what God speaks to us. Anybody heard of Francis Chan?
Yes, great preacher.
I heard him challenge our perspective once, and he said, there was in a book I recently read called Crazy Love, and he said, we look at this thing, this Christian life, like it's a movie, and although we're just extras in it, we're not the main characters. We act as though we're the main characters, and we say it's almost like we book out a movie theatre and we say, "Mum, Dad, come, friends, come, see this movie about me." Yet we're only an extra and we appear in it for about 2 seconds. This movie isn't about us. This movie is about God. And so what I want to do today is just show you why this is the best movie. This is a movie you want to watch. In fact, this is a movie you want to be an extra in, even if it's just for a second. And this is a movie you want to invite people to and say to them, it's not about me, it's about God. But this is going to be a great movie. Don't worry about if you see me or not. Worry about if you see God or not. So how do we see God? Some of the songs we just sung are amazing. Like, the words in them are amazing. And we can come to church each week and we can sing these songs. And we can sing these songs. And it doesn't really go much beyond that. We kind of come to the front and we say, I know this song, I know the words, disengage brain, and then I start to sing. But that's not the point. That's not what worship is. And you know, worship doesn't really have to look one particular way or another, but it has to be about how you come into it, what you do with your brain. It does involve your brain. You come to the front, or you stay in your seat, or whatever you do, and you think, oh my word, Lord, you are worthy of it all.
Yes.
Okay, so what does that, how am I going to demonstrate that now? What does that move me to do now? That's what we do when we come and sing. That's what this kind of worship is. And so, I don't know, did you hear some of the words we just sung? What a wonderful, what a beautiful, what a powerful name. Death could not hold him.
Yeah.
He silenced the boast of sin and grave. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like, that is great. That is so good. That does make me want to jump. That makes me want to jump. Sometimes it makes me want to, like, get on my knees and just think. I say, yeah, this is it. 2 seconds. I've got 2 seconds in this film, but he's in it the whole way through. There you go. Went kneel down again. So how do we see him? I'm going to just read through this. I kind of typed up something. I scoured the scriptures and I pulled out these things that I think this is how we should see God, because it's not good enough just for us to sit and think, what's God like? Because we could come up with anything. We could come up with a rainbow-coloured unicorn. That's not God. We need to start from the scriptures. That's how we see who God is, and then we can feel it, and we can interact with it, and it can be impressed into us. It can soak into us. It can saturate us. I'm gonna go through this. I'm not gonna read out exactly which scriptures each point, because but hopefully you'll hear scripture in this. And I promise you, this isn't what I've made up about God. This isn't a pink or a rainbow coloured unicorn. This is scripture. He is the one that is seated on the throne in heaven. His appearance is so wonderfully unimaginable, so beyond the restrictions of human language, that we can only begin to compare him to the most beautiful things we're aware of. Precious stones. I mean, have you ever heard of, unless you've, you know, come across them in the Bible, unless you're working at like a jeweler's store, jasper, carnelian, emeralds, okay, sapphire, burnished bronze. This is what we have to grasp at to kind of try and get some kind of understanding of what he looks like. Or the sun, rainbows, fire. But it still only starts to scratch the surface. We've got to keep trying. We've got to keep looking. And one day, if you know God, you'll get to the end of it all. You'll fix your eyes on him and you'll say, oh, my word. Wow, he is really something. Oh, wow. Never mind rubies and gold and silver and whatever else. Look at that. Look at him. Any creature, great or small, that comes into his presence can't stop shouting, holy, holy, holy. You are worthy of it all, Lord God Almighty. That's a good start. But there's more. He was before the beginning. He never had a beginning. Get your head around that one. He never started. He's always been. He will always be. Oh my, geez, that's. I don't get it, but I don't have to. It's true. He created everything. Nothing exists without him. And, you know, everything we can see right now, it owes its existence ultimately to him.
Yeah.
Okay, like everything. Don't let these just be words, guys. Like everything we see, this building ultimately is from him. What we see out there, us, we owe our existence to him. He put the earth in its place. Did you hear that? Like he put the earth where, you know, this giant ball that we're spinning around on at ridiculous speeds, and we think this is home. He put it here, and he spun it, and he keeps it spinning.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I think it's quite exciting. He sustains all of creation, like forces, gravity, those kind of things. Not the force, I'm not talking about that, you know. Weather systems, seasons, days, molecules, atoms. Like he knew it, and he was operating it all before we even could begin to understand these things. Before we even realised there was subatomic particles, and I'm using words I don't even understand right now. Stop. The universe, the galaxies, the constellations, they reveal his glory. This is actually probably my favourite part. The Milky Way, the solar system, it reveals his glory. Mount Everest. The Grand Canyon. I've never actually been to these places that I'm about to list, apart from I've seen the Northern Lights. It's about to come. But still, Mount Everest, the Grand Canyon, Victoria Falls, the Great Barrier Reef, you know, one day, and the Aurora Borealis, Northern Lights. Thought I'd get the fancy name in there. They reveal his glory. It's not just like, oh, wow. This is good. I feel excited. Standing on the edge of this canyon, or standing at the bottom of this mountain, realising that I'm tiny. It's not even just about that. It's about, oh my word, there's a creator.
Yeah.
Someone made this. The sunrise. I love the sunrise. The sunset. Sunset's even better. They point us to his glory.
Yeah.
You might have, if you throw it the other way around, that's fine. But. And that's pretty cosmic, okay? That's pretty big. That's pretty out there. I feel like that's a really good place to start, but now it's going to get a bit more close to home. Jesus. He was in the form of God. He didn't hold a parade to proudly declare his equality with God. He didn't protest or petition or demonstrate in order to have his equality with God recognized and to have his rights granted to him. No. He gave it up. He gave up everything. He gave up his equality with God, his rights, his status as God, and he became a man, a human, one of us. Like God became like one of us. Again, stop. Don't just hear it. Get your head around it. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. He fulfilled ancient prophecies. That kind of stuff excites me. By his birth, so he had no control over that. He couldn't do anything about that. By his birth, he fulfilled these prophecies. Throughout his life and in his death, the way he died, he fulfilled these ancient prophecies. It's exciting. We should start to take, if we haven't already, we should start to take note now. He walked on water. He stopped storms. He cleansed lepers. He made the lame walk. He opened the eyes of the blind. Wow, this is good stuff. Yep. This is exciting. He did some good stuff. He opened the ears of the deaf. Struggle with my F's and my F's, you know. He brought the dead to life.
Incredible.
It's incredible, Steve.
I'm excited.
Good. I'm really excited. Oh my word, yeah. He fed the hungry, he lived out perfect purity. Never once having a bad attitude, never once thinking an evil thought, never once reducing those around him by exalting himself, by being proud. Or never once thinking towards them in negativity. Well, not in an unrighteous negativity, anyway. He did get angry, but only when it was absolutely warranted. He never thought a lustful thought towards anybody. Wow, what a guy. Jeez. That's impressive. I am impressed right now. He was obedient to the will of God, and get this is where it really kind of starts to tug at my heart. This one that we were talking about, this cosmic being that's behind everything, that's the cause of everything, that everything points to, everything owes itself to, he was obedient. He was so obedient to God's will that he was ridiculed, abused, tormented, humiliated, tortured, beaten, executed, killed, dead. As though he was scum. How does that make you feel? Does that not move you? Oh my word. This being that is just so much greater than anything else, this one that we call God, he was treated like dirt. But the excitement continues. This is just great. What a great film. Oh my. I want to see this. I can't wait to watch it back. He came back to life. Yeah. We just sang about that. And I can tell you guys are a little bit excited about it. But like, he came back to life. Showing, like in this, he showed that death didn't have a claim on him. We just sang that. Showing that he did purity in a perfect way. He did the fight against sin and temptation in a perfect way. Showing that he is perfectly powerful. And he ascended. And now, although he's with us by his Spirit, he's seated next to the Father in heaven.
Yeah.
That's just the start as well. Let's see where we can get to. But that's a good way to start. And if actually that's all you hear this morning, that should be enough. That should be good. It's a good place to start. You know, he made us, he made you, he loves us, he loves you, he loves you. I'll say it again. He loves you. God loves you. Like, you've probably heard, well, if you've been in church any amount of time, you've probably heard this again and again and again, and it's like, yeah, I get it. I heard it. No, you don't. I don't get it. I don't think I'll ever get it in this life. But we can get it more and more, and we continue to understand it more and more as we go through life. And I think that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do in this life. That's how I want to use this life, is understand more and more God's love for me and respond to it. Not just sitting in a study, reading books about it. And I do like doing that. But let it affect me. Let it impact me. Let it change me. Let it be the root of everything that I do. He knows us. There's a scripture that says, "Oh Lord, you have known me and searched me. You know when I sit down, you know when I stand up, you discern my thoughts from afar, from his throne. You're acquainted with all my ways. Even before I speak a word, you know it altogether. You know exactly, before I know what I'm going to say, he knows it." Wow, okay. Scary, actually. A little bit scary. Got to be careful what I say. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's slow to anger. He has, again, love. He has so much unchanging love. Like, Romans 8, some of you might know that. Nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing. Life, death, people, powers, angels, demons, you name it, it's not going to be able to separate us from God's love. It's good. It's really, really, really good. Really good. Thank you, Lord. Do you get it?
Yeah.
He, God, God, that's who we're talking about. God revealed in Jesus. Not one of the other gods. Not any God, you name it. The God of the Bible, the God that we see in the scriptures, the God of the nation of Israel, who revealed himself in Jesus. He's kind of all right. No, he's not. He's amazing. Like, he is amazing. He is amazing. I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about it. We don't really start like that when we share the gospel. And probably because often we're trying to cram it into a couple of minutes or seconds or whatever it is. And like, I get that. You know, that's hard. You know, hard to do all of that in a couple of... You know, and that's just the start. Like, that's just the start of who God is. But without that, why are we going to want to know the rest of the gospel? Without knowing how good he is, without knowing how great he is, without knowing what he's done, without knowing that he's interested in us, why am I going to be interested in the rest of the gospel message? This idea of, because the gospel isn't, and this is what this is what I was brought up with anyway. So what we sometimes make it, you know, if we've all been a bit naughty, and we need to be forgiven, and if we're forgiven, we'll go to this place called heaven and we'll avoid hell. Where's God fit in that? The gospel is about God. It's about relationship with God. It's not actually about escaping hell. It's not actually about getting to a particular place when we die. And actually, if you read scripture, we're going to be back here anyway, in the new heavens and the new earth, the new creation. So it's not about those things. It's about God. It's about relationship with God. And that's all. I don't know about you, but that's been 17 minutes of very, very good news. There is some bad news. And this is usually where we start. We have sinned, okay? Like, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. Don't know about you guys. Anybody? Any sinners in the room?
Yeah.
Well done. Okay. It's okay, because we all are, okay? And like, I'm not saying, tut, tut, tut. I'm saying I am too. In fact, I'm probably far worse than you. Or I probably was. Anyway, let's not get into that. No. If you want to hear my testimony, we'll talk about it after. But like I'm a sinner. And God, by his very nature, hates sin because he's perfect. And so we need something to happen to restore what we've broken, because the sin has broken that relationship with that God that I just spent 17 minutes trying to describe, trying to begin to describe to you. Yeah, we need something. And the Bible is very clear, actually. You know, in Genesis, in Romans, it says, actually, if you sin, the cost of that, the way to repay that, bad news, guys, it's death. Okay, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry, because I didn't actually say that and I didn't decide that, okay? I didn't just make that up. It's death. But as we just heard about, I kind of jumped the gun, actually, didn't I? Jesus was perfect. He died. And I don't want to, like, reduce that, but that's it. That's what deals with it. That's what's dealt with. That's what's paid what we owe. Okay, so we owe something. It's been paid for us by this God that wants relationship with us, that's so amazing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. And then when we share the gospel with people, well, actually, rather, let's put it like this. Can you imagine Jesus, walking through the streets? It could be the streets of Horsham, or you could go back to the first century if you want, walking through the dusty streets and pulling out his 4 points booklet and saying, okay, love heart, cross, other cross, question mark. Okay, so if you just pray this prayer, you're all set, off you go. And I know, like, sometimes that's the best we can offer people. But actually, when you look at what Jesus did, it wasn't like that. It's actually really, like, I've been reading these passages, these scriptures that I'm just about to mention to you. He's actually really, he doesn't make it easy at all. And I really don't think we should be making it easy. Because it's like telling somebody half of the truth. What, a half truth. Well, what's going to happen when they find out the rest? Are they going to then say, actually, I can't do that, and drop out? We need to be upfront. We need to be upfront with ourselves. Like, this is what Jesus is asking of us. We need to be upfront with people. And, you know, there's an appropriate way to do that, but we need to be upfront. And actually, I mean, let's just have a look at what Jesus said. And he said this, not me. This isn't Tom. This is Jesus. Okay, this is gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is Jesus, thank you for the food. This is Jesus, I'll see you next Sunday kind of thing. Okay, no, it's not. This is Jesus. Okay, Matthew 6:33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. That's a pretty good place to start. So his expectation, if you're going to come to him, is essentially as simple as this: put him first in everything. Okay, Matthew 16:24-26, this one's a bit longer. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That cross, that was what he got killed on, by the way. So let's just remember that. Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Okay, next one. Matthew 22. We know this one. The greatest commandment. Does anybody know it? What's the greatest commandment? Jemima knows it. Well done. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And he gives us a second one. Love your neighbour as much as you love yourself. I don't do that. I don't do either of those things. Okay? So hear me first. Maybe you do. And if you do, come and tell me the secret. But this is what I'm aiming for, because I know it's the best thing. It's the best thing. And this is what it means to follow Jesus. This is what it means to be a Christian. Okay? What about this one? And this one is really hard. Again, please, it's not me, it's Jesus. Luke 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Okay, I'm out. I'm out at this point, because I really love my family. I love my mum. Thanks. I really do. Also, just my sister's just had a niece. But, I've just had a niece. My sister's just had a baby. Well done. My sister's had a baby, my niece. She's called Tabitha Grace, and she's beautiful. I'm not going to hate her. I can't. She's gorgeous. Okay, so what are we going to do with this? Okay, anyway, he carries on. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Out again, he's talking about how he got killed, or how he was going to get killed at that time. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Do you hear what he's saying? Before you decide you're going to follow me, just think about what it's going to cost you. Don't get caught out. Don't say, this sounds great. Just got to pray a prayer, go to church, and happy days. See you in heaven. And then you realize, actually, no, being a Christian is quite difficult. Okay, like it means looking a bit odd, a bit difficult. We saw these guys coming up and down the stairs, accidentally caught one of their eyes. He's giving us a funny look. Okay, like this, Christians are weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know if you like that or not, but we are.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well done. I am. We are. Like it is. Like church is weird. This is so weird compared. Like these guys walking along out here. Let's just think about it. What we're doing in here is so weird. So weird. And that's part of the cost, okay? You got unsaved family members, people that don't know Jesus in your family. Maybe you're in here and you don't know Jesus. You're probably thinking, okay, yeah, this is weird. Those family members, probably think it's weird. I know my sisters do. I wish, they grew up in the church, they got baptized. I wish they were still walking with God. And I know they've seen a good transformation in my life since I gave it to God. But they still think that it's weird. And actually, the guys that they're married or getting married to, they're even more like, whoa, what's this? You're going to go and share the word of God? What? You're going to go and gather with a bunch of random people on a Sunday morning and sing songs and listen to somebody preach? Like, have you ever just stopped to think about how weird this is? It's really weird. I love it, don't get me wrong. I really love this. And I love the kind of life that God is calling us into, but it is weird. So count the cost, guys. And it might not be just as little as people thinking you're a bit weird. It might be a lot more than that, okay? That's really what Jesus is saying. You're like, he doesn't want us to suffer and struggle and this and that. I really believe that that's not really what he's aiming for with us. But he doesn't... You know, he knows it's going to happen, basically. Like, the world is against him. Some people, it's in, like, a kind of passive-aggressive, like... But in some countries, like, people are getting killed for this. Okay? And they said at one point, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And they, you know what? They really did. We've people in the room here, we've said that. But did we really consider what it might actually cost us? What it might actually mean? I love hearing stories about people that have done what we might call radical things for God. But I wonder if calling them radical things is actually the right way to look at it. I wonder actually if we should call that the normal way of doing Christianity and this the weird way. Again, if you've listened to much of Francis Chan, you're probably hearing him come through. And hopefully, more than that, you're hearing God come through. I wonder if, the way that we're living out Christianity is actually radical in a really negative way. Don't know. Yeah, whatever that might, you might call that. It's weird. Thanks. Needed that. You know, I think if we were to go out to like the underground church in China, or like Coptic Christians in Egypt, or Christians that are being persecuted by Hindus in India, and we were to say, this is how we follow Jesus. What do you think they might say? Like, and I'm not accusing you guys. I'm not condemning you guys. I'm accusing myself, because I think if I was to go and say, this is kind of, if I was to write down my diary and say, this is exactly where God was in the week, they'd look at it and they'd say, what? Is that all? We have to give our lives. Yeah, are you serious? They'd probably laugh. Are you serious? That's a bit funny. We have to, they have to give their lives. Okay, how are we going to respond to this news? How are we going to respond to Jesus' invitation to count the cost? Well, let's look at how a couple of people responded, and I've lost them. No, there they are. Okay, hello. Moses, sort of fairly easy. Moses bowed his head towards the earth and he worshipped. Okay, I could do that. Or it could look like I'm doing that. Isaiah said, kind of like what we've just been saying, God is, oh my word, God is so great. And then he said, I'm so not worthy of knowing him, of being loved by him, and being used by him. Okay, Peter and Andrew, Jesus called them. Jesus said, come and follow me. What did they do? They gave up their career. They gave up their source of income. They left their father, and they went wherever Jesus was going. Zacchaeus. Do you remember this one from Sunday school? Little man in the tree. Jesus called him down from the tree and he said, okay, you know what? I need you. Whatever it takes, I need you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give away half of what I own. This guy's rich. Half of what I own, and I'm going to give it to the poor. And actually, I've done a lot of bad things, so I'm going to give back to those people that I cheated 4 times what I took. That's a pretty radical response. Or maybe it's a normal response, I don't know. No, I do know. What about Paul? He said, Paul, by the way, Paul, who, you know, in the New Testament we encounter, he's been killing or overseeing Christians that, you know, being killed. He's been like trying to kill out this Jesus movement. And then Jesus reveals himself to him. And Paul says, here I am. I no longer live. Christ, you live in me. To live is you, Jesus. And actually, you know what? To die is even better. That's what he said. I've got the scriptures here if you want to ask me where I got them from. I've got them here. We don't think like that. We're like, I'll pray the prayer and then I'll carry on with my nice family, or maybe not family, my nice single life, my nice girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, my nice career, my nice hobbies, and I'll sprinkle a little bit of Jesus on that. These guys did not respond like that. What about a couple of more recent examples? Jim Elliot. You heard of Jim Elliot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Love this. Here's what he said. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Girls in the room, she's no fool who gives what she cannot keep. If you like, you know? Same thing. What can't we keep? Our lives. Like, we're reality, this isn't morbid, this isn't depressing, it's reality. We're all going to die. Okay, again, Christianity is weird because they talk about death. But at least it's real, okay? What can't we keep? Our lives. And what can't we lose? Eternal relationship with God. And you know what? After he said that, he did just that. He went to South America, he tried to reach a remote tribe with the gospel, and they killed him. And you know what? Actually, looking in from the outside, if you were an unbeliever anyway, that looks like a failure. But years later, get this, those people that killed him were babysitting his daughter to allow his wife to lead a church service in the village. Oh my word. God, whoa, that's some good stuff. More recent, maybe a bit more moving, because like we were so aware of it when it happened. The Coptic martyrs. What did they say? They said, you know what? My head isn't worth keeping if it means I have to deny Jesus and lose him. Okay, that just got serious, didn't it? That just got real. They said, you know what? Take my head. I want Jesus. I don't want to lose Jesus. Oh, I don't think I could do that. But I know that they were well received when they met Jesus. Okay, and those are pretty, like, radical. I'm going to call them radical. You know, get my heart. Those are pretty radical examples. What about closer to home? Sandra says, you know what, Jesus is great. And I believe he wants me in Horsham, so though I'm studying in London, I'm going to get the train in to attend prayer meetings and life group and serve on Sunday mornings and meet with my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Sandra. I really, really appreciate it. Morgan's not here, one of our young people. She says, you know what? I really love this Jesus. I really love Jesus. And actually, when Christians get called out in the biology class, I'm going to stand up and be counted. So when her lecturer that doesn't believe in God says, is there anybody that's a Christian in the room? She stands up and she says, actually, you know what? I am. I'm a Christian. That's good. That's really, wow, well done. Definitely couldn't do what the Coptic Christians did. I think when I was in school, I definitely would have struggled to have done what Morgan did. Absolutely hats off to that. I think that's like the hardest place, school. Caleb, when he gets back from Vibe Fest, he says, you know what? I want to know more about Jesus. I'm going to read through Matthew twice in 1 week. You know, it could be out there radical, give your life, give your head. Or it could be a bit closer to home. It could be a bit more comfortable. And that'd be great. That'd be really great. You know, making the effort to be where you're supposed to be. Get that train, even when you're tired. Stand up and be counted, even when you're the only one. Take some time out, read the Bible. And read it until you get it. And ask questions until you get it. Read it until you get Jesus. Ask questions until you get Jesus. I'm a little bit biased because two of those were young people in my youth group. Our young people are amazing. I love them. I love them. And God is doing some really exciting things in their lives. Okay, let's wrap it up. Has anybody ever said something a little bit like this? Lukewarm Christian. I have probably called myself that once or twice. In fact, I distinctly remember talking to my friend Patrick in McDonald's when I was 18 saying, not lukewarm, but he asked me why, you know, how can you be a Christian and live that way? And I was like, well, maybe I'm just not as good a Christian as other people. Actually, you know what? I've come to the conclusion I wasn't a Christian. And that's a little bit scary. Imagine if I'd have not made it much beyond that. You know, imagine if I walked out of McDonald's and hit by a car or something like that. I know that a lot of what I'm saying is like morbid, but it's also like reality, so that's why I'm saying it. I want to be real. Thanks. There's another letter in the New Testament. Another letter, I didn't even talk about the one that I was going to talk about, Galatians, but there is a letter in the New Testament in Revelation, and it's addressed to a church called Laodicea. It's quite nice to say, isn't it? Say it with me. Laodicea. Very good. And it's John that's writing the letter, but it's Jesus that's saying the words. And Jesus says to this church, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. Not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Okay, I'm not saying this is you. Okay, don't hear me wrong. I am inviting you to really ask yourself, is this me though? Okay, I'm not here to accuse anybody. But also, like this week, as I've been challenged by this, about this by God, I've been like, oh my word, I'm lukewarm in some places. And I don't really know how this all works out, like, theologically. Even though I'm studying this stuff, I still can't get my head around it. That's not what I'm going to try and do, unpack the theology for you today. I'm just going to say, let's seriously consider, am I hot? you know what I mean? am I on fire? Am I on fire for God? Because if I'm not, I'm lukewarm or I'm cold. And if I'm lukewarm, I'm going to be spit out. That doesn't sound like I'm a Christian. That doesn't sound like I'm saved. And the reason I say this is because I love you. I love you guys. I love you. And so if at the end of you know, if Jesus put this on my heart to say, and I didn't say it, and then, like, I met him, and he's like, why didn't you tell those people? Some of them have died as lukewarm Christians, and they're not with me now. Can you imagine? So that's why I'm saying it. Okay, that was hard. I did not enjoy saying that. But lukewarmness, it makes Jesus sick. And he said, actually, it'd be better if you were just cold. It'd be better if you didn't come to church and pretend. Because lukewarm people go to church. Like, it was a church that was lukewarm, actually. And lukewarm people act nice. But that's about it. Like, their heart is rotten. And I've managed that sometimes. I've managed to act nice, but really, what's going on in here is not good. Okay, so that was really hard to speak. It was probably quite hard to hear. But also hear this. Like, we've got to hold this idea of Jesus spitting us out of the lukewarm in tension with the fact that he is so loving. He's made a way. He's gracious. He's patient. And so he says, okay, count the cost. But really, don't hang around. Count it now. Come to me and we'll start working on this together. That's his invitation to you today. Okay? So don't feel, oh my word, I'm lukewarm. I'm going to stop going to church because it'd be better if I was cold. But instead say, no, I want to, or if this is what you want, say, I want to be hot. I want to be on fire for God. I can't work it up myself, but if I come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want that, he will help you. He will. I'm convinced. And if he doesn't, come and have a go at me. It's about moving forward. You know, we read scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks about, it lists a load of qualities, love, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, there's more, I'm not going to list them all. But it said, the key thing is, okay, you see this list of things? If you have them and they're increasing in you, that's good. Like, if you have them and they're increasing in you, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful. And that's the opposite of what lukewarmness is. If I have these things and I'm moving forward and I'm growing in them. So don't hear, oh my words, he's bashed me, he's condemned me, he's accused me. But hear Jesus' solemn call, his serious call, to really take this all very seriously and to recognize that he's going to help you in this. It's about God's spirit. When Jesus went up, he said, it's better that my spirit come and be among you. Well, why is that? Because he's going to help us. He's the helper. God's spirit is the spirit of truth that helps us. And he dwells among us and he wants to live in each one of us and move us forward on this journey. Help us to increase and grow in these qualities. It's not about clenching and trying really hard. You know, I heard a really good quote once. Can't remember who it was by, sorry. It wasn't by me. Prayer isn't about gritting your teeth. It's about falling in love. That's the heart of this. Being a Christian isn't about gritting your teeth. It's about falling in love.